Okay, but it was like from a time when they used to actually bathe in tubs and this and that, and go back and research it. But the other thing that kind of caught me was I'm not an English person. Okay, Pastor Terry is great with words. He's great with English. I'm not. I'm a math guy. And so I went and I Googled this thing, and I love the internet, and I Googled this phrase and came up with this word, and it says it's an idiom. You know, that's an M and not a T, by the way, in case you were curious. It didn't say it's an idiot. It said it's an idiom, okay? I still don't even know what an idiom is, okay? But this is what it basically says. Don't get rid of what is good while you're getting rid of what is bad. Don't discard the favorable because of the unfavorable. And then that kind of hit me kind of funny about this idea that Christmas and our culture is all about money. We're marketing. Pastor Terry like blew me away last week with the whole idea of marketing and spending money that we will go through as a nation. And that's just insane to me. But they market to our need and to our greed. It's all about the gifts. I mean, we even have Santa Claus who travels the world and gives gifts to good little boys and girls. And as parents, we love that because, you know, it helps keep our kids in line. And I'll never forget my daughter's going and giving, you know, Macy's in that big red mailbox, you know, their letters to Santa, and how amazing those things were. But it's all about the gifts. Our retail stores started Christmas earlier and earlier. This year at Walmart, I was in looking at Halloween presents next to or Halloween costumes next to Christmas trees. Like, really? And like next to that was the pumpkins for Thanksgiving. I'm like, seriously, like they want me to buy my Halloween costume while eating Thanksgiving dinner and buying wrapping paper all at the same time. Thank you, Walmart. I appreciate that, okay? But listen, our culture has done its best to try to remove Christ from Christmas. I remember a time when I was a little kid growing up that there was this big push, and those of you who are older than you know the age of 20 probably remember this, but there was this push to remove Christ from Christmas. And so they came up, and I remember people had signs of, you know, remove Christ from Christmas, and so they just put an Xmas on there. Remember that, okay? And here's what's funny to me is if you go back and look at that, the Greek letter X is chi, which means Christ. Okay, let's remove the Christ from Christmas. We'll just put an X in there, which still means Christ. But okay, thanks. Even in their trying to remove Christ from Christmas, they still kept him in Christmas because Christmas has always been about the celebration of Jesus. It has always been about the birth of Jesus. And we're going to celebrate even more in a couple weeks as we do Advent. You'll begin to see this place transform a little bit. And I love Christmas. I love the trees. I love the smell of the pine. I love, because, you know, we don't have that here in Florida. And so, you know, we even have a fake tree that I love the fake tree. My mom and dad gave us this tree that it is probably almost nearly as old as I am, but it is a beautiful tree, but it's fake. And so it doesn't smell. So we go and buy those little pine sticks that you hang inside the tree so it smells like it's real, and yet I don't have to deal with the watering of it or, you know, it dying. It's really kind of cool like that. But, you know, we'll transform this place. We'll have the Advent wreath, and we'll talk about the Advent, the coming of Christ. We'll celebrate, as the church has for centuries, the coming of Christ and Christmas and what it means. And so I continue to think through this series title of Don't Throw the Baby Out with the Boxes, and it started to make sense. That so many times I'm fighting culture and fighting what the world says and what the world's way is and saying, no, Christmas is all about Jesus. It's not about the gifts. And yet I miss the whole point altogether. That what if it is? What if it is about a gift? Last week, Pastor Terry started us off with a great word, honor. Honoring God and honoring others. I loved the message last week. I mean, it hit home. It helped me this week to focus on some of my kids in a different way. Those kids that walk in the class and your first question is, did you take your medication this morning? Those kids who require a little extra love and grace. Like, there's one kid, I love him to death. I know why God blessed me with daughters, because if he had given me a son, it would have been this kid. Because this kid is just like I was. I mean, the blonde hair, the blue eyes, the can't sit still, the always talking. Like, even while taking a test, he's reading the question out loud and thinking out loud with his mouth. And I'm like going, oh, Lord, I love you. And this week I was able to put my arm around him and say, listen, I want you to know something. You remind me of me. And I love that about you. And I mean, he just was like, huh? Like, I've never had a teacher say that. Like, they always look at me and they get on to me. And I'm like, well, you know, you just need a little extra hug. A little tighter. You know, and that's okay. But, you know, this week I want us to talk about another word this Sunday. And it's a word called generous. Generosity. What does that word bring to your mind when you hear the word generous? Like, what pops in? And you know, for those of us as students, you guys are thinking about Passion Camp a couple years ago when Louis brings out not just one box of Krispy Kreme donuts, but like 26 boxes of Krispy Kreme donuts. And we're all just like, oh my God, like extraordinary, over the top generosity. That's what generous means. I looked it up in the dictionary and it says this: to give more of something than is strictly necessary. To give more than what is necessary. So let's be honest for a second. Christmas is and always has been about gifts. We have the most amazing gift in Christ. The Magi came and brought gifts to Jesus on what we would call the first Christmas of gold and frankincense and myrrh. So it's always been about gifts, but we tend to lose Christ in the middle of it all. And so this week as I was preparing, one of my favorite Christmas movies is The Grinch, the Jim Carrey version. We just went and saw the new version, and it was good. Don't get me wrong. It was nice, but it wasn't Jim Carrey. You know, when you have a character like that, that just over the top, you're like, nothing can ever top that, okay? But in the book and even in the movie, there's a part of the movie where the Grinch has stolen Christmas from the Who's. Like, taking everything, you know, their last can of Who hash and all that craziness, okay? And he goes up to the top of the mountain, and he's about to dump it off. And at that moment, the Who's all come out, and they start singing their traditional Christmas song, right? And so we pick up the Grinch, and this is what it says in the book. You ready? And the Grinch, with his Grinch feet ice cold in the snow, stood puzzling and puzzling. How could it be so? It came without tags. It came without packages, boxes, or bags. And he puzzled and puzzled, till his puzzler was sore. Then he thought of something he hadn't before. What if Christmas, he thought, doesn't come from a store? What if Christmas, perhaps, means a little bit more? Wow. Love the theology of Dr. Seuss. Like, I mean, how do you just, after that, you just go, I could never write something like that, you know? I mean, It's just amazing. Well, culture wants us to believe that it's all about the boxes. It's not about the boxes. It's about the present. The present and the gift of Jesus. Gifts aren't bad. Giving and receiving isn't bad, and it isn't a sin. But the question is, why do we give? Why should we give? Now, I'm not talking about our tithes and offerings, okay? I'm not talking about money. Pastor Terry didn't say, hey, Ryan, talk on money. I'm getting out of town for a bit, okay? This is not a sermon about money. It's a sermon about generosity. It's a sermon about being generous, about being extravagant, about giving more than is strictly necessary. It's about being generous. We give because God gave. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave. I give because God gives. I give to others because God has given to me. And so I want to kind of take a look at that. If you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 24. We're going to kind of camp out here. And there's something rather interesting about this passage that as I was reading it, it just kind of jumped out at me. And I was like, ooh, time out. And it had my puzzler puzzling, okay? But Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 through 24. And some of these verses are going to sound real familiar. You're going to be like, oh yeah, I got that. And then there's going to be a passage you're going to be like, I don't think I've ever read that one before. Probably like me, but here it goes. You ready? Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. Verse 21, Pastor Terry says this every Sunday, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Fantastic. Got that. Great. Love that verse. Look at this next little passage. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? Okay, I just want to set that one aside for a second, because I'm looking at that going, okay, store up for myself treasures, eyes, darkness, bad eyes. Don't have a clue what he's saying there. Pick up verse 24. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Those two passages are really super familiar to us. If you've grown up in church, you've heard sermons on the first part and the last part. And we tend to omit that middle part, because that middle part, we just go, that makes no sense. Like, why would Jesus throw in something that seems random in the middle? Like, these two pieces fit together. Let's just cut that out, and we'll edit that, and we'll push these two things together, and it makes so much better sense for us. But listen, there's a key to this. The key to generosity falls into this passage, and it's right here in the middle. And you're like, yeah, I don't see it. That's okay. I didn't see it either. I went and did some research, and when you get into the original Greek that the New Testament was written in, if you turn over to Matthew chapter 20, verse 15, Jesus begins to tell a parable, and he uses the same phrase of the bad eye. Kind of interesting. And it brings light into this passage of, listen, live generously. So if you go to Matthew chapter 20, we're going to start with verse 15, but let me catch up to you real quick and tell you what's happening. Jesus is sharing this parable of a guy who owns a vineyard. And the harvest is ready, and so he says, hey, we got to go and bring everything in. And so he goes out and he hires some guys to come in, and he says, listen, I want you here at 6 a.m. Not a problem. We're going to work till 6 p.m. So we're going to work 12 hours, and I'm going to give you a denarius for the day, which was a good wage, okay, for the daytime. And so the guys show up the next day, they're out there in the fields and they're working, and the guy who owns the vineyard realizes that, dude, this is a little more than what these guys could do, so I'm going to go get some more help. So he goes out and he finds some more people at 9 a.m., and they come in at 9 and start working. And it gets to be about noon, and he's like, hey, we're going to run short. So I'm going to go find some more people. So he goes and finds some more people at noon, and he brings them in. And the last hour before they're done, he realizes, dude, we're in the final push, and we're not going to make it. So he runs back out into town, and he finds some more people to come in and work for the last hour. And then 6 o'clock comes, and they blow the whistle bell, and I always think of Fred Flintstone, you know, when they pull it, and he slides down the, you know, and he slides down the dinosaur. I love that. I'm weird, okay? But he calls for the bell, and the day's over, and he gathers all the people in, and he starts handing out the denarius for the day to every single person who worked, the same wage. Anybody find that unfair? Okay, good. I'm glad to know I'm not the only one, okay? First service, they didn't want to play really well, but they finally started to warm up, but I kind of found this a little unfair. And if you look in verse 11, it starts to talk about who the guys who worked all day long, and it says this, and on receiving it, they grumbled. They, the people who worked all day long, they grumbled at the master of the house, saying, these last worked only an hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat. It's not fair. Have you ever cried that before? Yeah, hello. I used to do that all the time as a kid. It's not fair, you know? I mean, and my mom would look at me and be like, what's not fair? And so I've kind of adopted their saying, fair is what comes to town once a year. You know, and they usually have rides that are questionable, but they're really good on the funnel cakes, okay? You know, those are really great. But, you know, fair is an interesting concept. We want what's fair when it benefits us, right? And these guys are saying, it's not fair that we worked the entire day, they worked an hour, and they get the same wages as us. And if you go on and you begin to read, skip down to verse 15. The vineyard owner says this, am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or do you begrudge my generosity? Verse 14, so the last will be first, or 16, so the last will be first and the first last. Now, this is a very loose translation, okay, of what it actually says here. In the Greek, it literally says this, or is your eye bad because I am good? Is your eye bad because I am good? And so if we take that and we couple it with what's in Matthew 6, we begin to understand this bad eye principle that Jesus is talking about. If our focus is on the treasures of this world, we now have a bad eye. our focus isn't good. We're not able to see correctly. The bad eye simply means this, the eye that cannot see the beauty of grace and mercy and love and forgiveness. I mean, I love that last song we sang. Reminds me of why Jesus came. Reminds me of the gift I have in the cross and the gift that I have in the empty tomb and the gift and the promise of what I will have one day to come. And that's amazing. The bad eye sees money and material rewards as more to be desired than a beautiful display of free, gracious, godlike generosity. So this idea of having a bad eye means simply this: are we living with our eyes wide open? Are our hands open to what it is that God has given to us to be able to freely, generously give it away to others? Are we begrudging God's generosity towards us? God was and still is generous towards us with his grace, which simply means this: giving us what we don't deserve. I mean, I'm thankful for that. Thank you, God, for not giving me what I deserve, or forgiving me what I don't deserve, sorry. Because mercy means this: God is generous in his mercy, withholding what I do deserve. Now, Jennifer and I in parenting kind of adopted a thing way back when the girls were little, and it's called natural consequences. You ever parented like that before? Don't stick that fork in the light socket. And so you could go and cover up every light socket. My thoughts were, leave them uncovered because she'll only stick it in once. She'll figure out pretty quick that that's not what you do with a fork. That's not where it goes. And if she doesn't, then we have other issues. You know, we should probably test for IQs or things like that at that point, which she probably ended up getting from me, okay? But we're thankful that she didn't, because, I mean, both of our girls are super smart and amazingly good looking, thanks to their mom. They just have me as a dad. Pray for them, okay? But this idea of mercy, I'll never forget. My dad was very merciful to me at one point. I was in high school, and the youth know this. I know this will come as a shock to you guys, but I used to work at Chick-fil-A. I know, it's crazy. But there was one, like, it was either a Friday night or a Saturday night when they were allowed to work you later as a high school student because there was no school the next day. And so we got out late. And this was long before we had cell phones because we had these things that were on walls called telephones, and they had these really long cables, or you could buy really long cables. You could go into the next room and talk on them where mom and dad couldn't hear unless they picked up the phone in the kitchen. Which was really disturbing. But before we had cell phones, I would have to call my mom when I left work and be like, hey, I'm on my way home. And my mom had it clocked. Like, she knew that I'd be pulling up within 12 minutes from when I called, and everything would be okay and hunky-dory. Well, again, it was late one night, and the Chick-fil-A I worked in was like in the parking lot out by the street, and the Walmart was behind us there, and there was nobody in the Walmart. Like, it was like 1 o'clock in the morning. This was before we had 24-hour Walmarts, okay? I know I'm old. I'm really, really old, okay? So before cell phones and before Walmart was 24 hours, which, yes, there was life before those things. And so I just decided I'm not going to follow the outside path of the parking lot. I'm going to cut straight through, because the shortest distance between two points is a straight line. Thank you, those of you who are math-oriented, okay? And so I just decided I'm going to cut through and make a straight line. Well, I didn't also bother to worry about the speed limit in a parking lot at 1 a.m. in the morning. I just decided I'm going to cruise on home because I'm tired and I'm ready to go. Well, needless to say, shortly after crossing all of the parking spaces, there were some blue lights that ended up in my rearview mirror. Little did I know that there were two police officers sitting out in the back, kind of, you know how they do their little, they pull up and they talk back and forth side to side. I'm like, seriously, you guys had to pick this parking lot, okay? And so they pulled me over, one for speeding and one for cutting through on private property. I don't quite know what all that was, but the first question from them is, so where are you coming from? Well, I've got a name badge that says Chick-fil-A and my name on it. I'm in a uniform, and there's the Chick-fil-A. But I wasn't being a smart aleck. I left it alone. I was like, I'm coming from work, officer, and I'm tired, and I just want to go home. And so he asks for my registration and my license, and he pulls all that, and he then tells me what I've done wrong and how I've broken the law. And his next comment was, "What's your phone number so I can call your dad?" "Officer, I really would love for you not to wake my father up, because he would not be happy with you for doing that. He'd be really mad at you for waking him up, because you were the one who called him." And so we kind of talked back and forth, and he looked at me and he said, "Mr. Raymond, I need you to go straight home and make sure that you tell your dad when you get home what happened, and don't let this happen again. I'm just going to give you a warning. Mercy. I didn't get what I deserved." Then I got home to my mother, who was sitting there frantically waiting because it was more than 12 minutes long, okay? And her first response was, "Why are you late?" "Well, you see, what happened was I went speeding through the Walmart parking lot and across the parking spaces and got pulled over by the police." To which my mom says, "You better go and tell your dad." "Yeah, Mom, they didn't give me a ticket. Could we just leave this between you and me? Dad doesn't need to come into this conversation." I mean, like, it's all good. It's all good. "No, you need to." So walk in, look at, you know, Dad's sound asleep, okay? And he snores gently, okay? So I know he's asleep because he's snoring, and I remember waking him up and touching him, and he opens his eyes, and he goes, "What's up?" I'm like, "I got pulled over tonight." And the words out of my dad's mouth were this: "Did you learn something?" "Yes, sir, I did." "Good. Go to bed. I'll see you in the morning." And that was the last I ever heard of it. No keys taken. No, I mean, like, no restriction. Like, the whole time I'm sitting there thinking, dude, I need to wake Dad up more often. Like, maybe he thinks this is just a dream and this is a good thing, okay? But listen, grace and mercy are given to us freely every day. God has given us generously his grace and his mercy. But not just that, his love. That even when we break his heart, he still loves us. Nothing we can do will ever make God not love us. Have you ever stopped to think about that? No matter how far I run from God, no matter how much sin I get into, no matter how far away from him I get, God will never stop loving me. And I'm thankful for that. He is generous in his love, and he's generous in his forgiveness, totally, freely, completely, with restoration. So what? How do we give generously? Well, we first got to understand why we don't give generously, because a lot of us are afraid to give generously. If I give, I won't have enough for me. And so we live in this state of fear. Listen, God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of sound mind. Become generous in spite of your fear and watch God move in and fill in the gaps. It's amazing how it happens. But sometimes we don't give generously or at all because we like to be in control. Our giving comes with strings. You ever had somebody give with strings? Doesn't feel good. God didn't give with strings. God's grace and mercy and love and forgiveness doesn't come with a, "Well, I'll only do it if you do X, Y, Z." God says, "I'll do it because I love you. I'll do it because I'm yours and you're mine." So we must, in this day and in every day, become generous. To become extravagant. To become lavish, to give without restraint. And this time of year, it's hard. Not gonna lie. This coming week, Thursday, is Thanksgiving, and we gather with family. And some family are hard to be around, aren't they? Some family are hard to love, much less like. You know, I'll never forget, and we always get together and we tell the same stories. I don't know why that is. But it's usually because I'm telling the same stories. And the girls always look at me and go, "Dad, we know that one." "I know. Sit there and be quiet and hear it again." Okay? every year you have to hear this story, because I don't want you to forget this story, okay? And so we tell the same stories. You guys know how that goes. And some of the toughest people to celebrate with are the ones that we call family. And this year at Christmas, I want to ask you this question. What is it that you treasure most? Because where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Is your treasure in receiving? Because that's what the world says. That's what culture says at Christmas. It's all about the me, the getting of the gifts that I want. Or is it about the giving? Because that's what God's way says. It's about being generous and extravagant in your giving. Listen, I'll never forget one of my first Christmases that I got whenever I was had my job in high school, and how excited I was about getting presents that year. I'm seeing it now in Abby, who has her first job, and she's already got gifts already lined up to buy for us. And I'm like a little thankful for that, because it's not my money this year, it's hers, which is really kind of cool in that regard. As they grow up, parents of younger kids, it does get better, okay? They do move out and move away, and you still support them fully, just so that you know. That's what Pastor Terry tells me. He's like, I've got two, and they're still expensive. And I'm like, great, thanks. But listen, I'll never forget that year that I was able to buy my parents their first present out of my own money. And I was super stoked and excited. I could not wait for them to open up this gigantic box. I mean, it was big. Of stuff that I had gotten for them. Now, of course, I had thrown some rocks in it so that it made it feel like it was heavier and bigger, because I was trying to throw them off, okay? But I was super excited when they opened up their present and saw their Chick-fil-A sweatshirts. That's right, and I got them for a discount, too, because I was an employee. I was like, yes! Mom, you taught me well, you know? I mean, my favorite friend is Clarence, okay? No, wait, that's Clarence. So, you know, I mean, just... I just remember that feeling of giving my first gift that was me and mine, and I didn't get the money from my mom and dad. It was my money that I earned. That was an amazing feeling. Well, this year at Thanksgiving and Christmas, can we make that feeling every day? By giving generously of our own grace and our own mercy and our own love and our own forgiveness. Listen, I want you to do me a favor real quick. Take out your car keys if you've got them. I've got my church keys here. But that passage that we read in Matthew chapter 6, that middle piece that we kind of pulled out and looked at for a second because it just didn't look like it fit, truly becomes the key to the passage. To understand where your treasure is, we've got to begin to understand, do we have a bad eye or a good eye? Do we have an eye that is generous and lavish, or are we begrudging God's generosity towards us? So the key of Christmas, every time you pull these out, I want you to think about this. Am I being generous? When you go to unlock your car or unlock your door or turn the car on or whatever, you pull them out and you hang them up in your room, or you're searching frantically for your keys because you're not where you put them, you know? And so, or your kids moved them, or you're blaming your kids for moving them when you really just didn't put them where you thought they were. You know, when you're frantically looking for them, remember the key of Christmas is being generous. Generous with your grace. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 10 says this. Let me find it real quick. Ephesians chapter 2, beginning with verse 4. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. This is a beautiful verse that hits both the grace and the mercy and the love of Christ, and how generous it is. Listen to this. Even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By him, and seated us, by grace you've been saved through faith, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Jesus Christ, so that in the coming of ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. We are God's plan A for showing God's grace to the world. God has no plan B. We are it. We are the hands of Jesus and must show grace towards others. In other words, giving people what they don't deserve. When someone has wronged you, don't wrong them back. Love them. But not only do we need to be generous with our grace, but we need to be generous with our mercy. Matthew chapter 5, if you go back one chapter from where we started, in Matthew chapter 5, in the very beginning Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says this in Matthew 5, 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Listen, there are people all around us who need the mercy of God. And for us to withhold what they deserve. Listen, I working in customer service and being a waiter at times is really tough. We went up and visited Valdosta State a couple of weeks ago, or maybe a month ago. We wanted to hang out and see Madison when she was up there and found out she was at work. So we said, hey, let's head over and we'll go eat it out back and we'll sit in Madison's section and we'll let her wait on us and we'll bless her. And it was cool and great. And I ordered a steak, and the way I like my steaks are medium rare, so a little bit of pink, right? Well, it comes out and it wasn't medium rare. And usually when you get something like that, you know, you kind of raise your hand and the waitress comes over and you're like, hey, this isn't the way I want it. And the waitress or waiter's usual response is, I'm so sorry. Well, question, did they cook it? Is it their fault? No. The cook in the back, is it really his fault? Because I really don't want him to cut into my steak to see if it's still pink. I mean, that's fine. Do the little poke test. Set your timer so you kind of know. I get it. Every steak's different. Did he do it on purpose? No. Guess what? They need a little grace and mercy. They don't need us breathing down their neck and making their life even more miserable for the day. The person in the grocery store line who gets in that express checkout for 10 items or less, and they've got a buggy and a half full of stuff. Yeah, as much as you want to be mean to them and point out to the sign, hey, it says 10 items or less. I think you might have a few more than 10. Reach over and start helping them put their stuff up on the conveyor belt. Ask them. Don't count. Eric. Welcome back, Eric. We're so glad you're here. And keep a count. 1, 2, 263. It's a little more than 10. Yeah, don't do that. Ask them, can I help you carry it out? Be a little gracious. Be a little merciful towards them. And those people that we call family that we get to hang around with this week, who we see maybe once or twice a year, who we're like, oh, God, do I have to go see them again? Do I have to be around them? Be a little more gracious and merciful towards them. But not only do we need to be generous in our grace and our mercy, but generous in our love. 1 John chapter 4 tells us this. Says this, 1 John chapter 4, beginning with verse 7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation. That's a big word for basically redemption, the purchase, okay, the payment for our sin. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. We've got to become generous this season. Don't get so hung up on the gifts and the, oh my gosh, I got to get rid of the commercialism because I got to focus on Jesus. Jesus is the gift of Christmas. The first gift of Christmas, to quote another great Christmas movie, was not a little jingle bell off of the reindeer, okay? It was Jesus. He is the greatest gift of all. But then we also need to be generous with our forgiveness. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 says this. Colossians 3, 12. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Listen, that's a hard thing to do. I'm not going to lie. These are four very hard gifts to give. much less be generous in. Extravagant, over the top, loving towards others. But forgiveness is something that honestly only hurts us. When I have unforgiveness in my heart, it doesn't hurt the person who hurt me. It keeps me bound up. So this Christmas, would you remember that the key of Christmas is to be generous in every way, in every day, and with everyone, no matter where you are? Because I'm going to tell you, your patience will be tried. You will have a hard time, whether it be Thanksgiving Thursday with family or whether it be Black Friday shopping with the masses. Trust me, I've been to some Black Friday sales, and there are some people that they can be really rough and mean, like mean. Let's not be that way. Let's change our culture by becoming a people who are generous, who are known by our generosity. Because God freely and lavishly and generously gives to us. May we freely and generously give to others. Would you pray with me this morning? Maybe this morning you struggle in one of these areas. Maybe, first of all, you struggle with accepting the gift of God, His Son. And you struggle with accepting His grace and His mercy and His love and His forgiveness in your own life. Maybe this morning you've never asked God to be your Savior and your Lord. I want to give you that privilege and that opportunity. Super simple. There's nothing magical about the words. It's the heart that just says, Jesus, I need you. I've sinned. I've done things wrong in my life. I've lived life my own way. But this morning, I want you. I need you to be in control. So God, would you take control of my life? If you prayed a prayer something like that this morning, I just want to celebrate with you. And would you just come down and see me at the front after the service is over and just say, hey, Pastor Ryan, this morning I accepted the gift of God in my life. Because I'd love to help you understand what that is and what those next steps are. But maybe you're a Christian this morning and you've been struggling with giving grace and mercy and love and forgiveness to some people. And their faces just popped in to your minds right now. Would you make a phone call today? Maybe you can't. Maybe that person has already passed away. Would you write a letter? Get that out and say, would you forgive me? Would you help me to be gracious and merciful? This season, remember the key is generosity. Jesus, we love you. We thank you. Lord, thank you that even in your word, when things get confusing to us, Lord, it is so amazing how it just all connects together. God, would you help us to have good eyes? Eyes that are wide open to the world that is around us, that is so desperately in need of you, of your grace and of your mercy, of your love and of your forgiveness. God, would you help us to live with our hands wide open, to say, God, all I have is yours. Everything I've got, I freely give to you and to those around me. Help us, God, to live, Lord, with the mindset of generosity. We love you and we thank you. We ask all this in your name and for your glory's sake. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for being here this morning. Our ushers, if you would go ahead and come on forward. We're going to take up our tithes and offerings. This is the time of the service where if you are a guest with us this morning, we're not asking you to give. The only thing we're going to ask of you is if you would just take this card out and put it in the offering plate. If it passes and you don't get a chance to put this in the offering plate, you can put it in one of the great boxes that are at each of the doors.